Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Vanderbilt football taking on Tennessee this Saturday. Pregame at 1 o'clock on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan. Kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Ford's Acura, Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Joe, we had a long conversation about Vanderbilt, Tennessee yesterday. Diego Pavia at the forefront of this with Tennessee fans. Obviously, have their sights set in on the Vanderbilt quarterback, as does pretty much everybody who plays Vanderbilt. But I will say, Pavia, the comments that he had about Vanderbilt running the state of Tennessee have resurfaced a lot on social media this week. Clearly, there's a look. Diego Pavia is a very controversial guy, right? Like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you love him. If you're a Tennessee fan or a team that doesn't like Vanderbilt, you don't like Diego Pavia heading into all this. So that part of it going to be really spicy heading into the matchup on Saturday. Joe, you're throwing a question out there. Have Vanderbilt fans ever hated a Tennessee player as much as Tennessee fans currently hate Diego Pavia? I think it's a very good question.
Yeah, and I could extend that to, doesn't have to be football. We could talk, you know, we could talk hoops too. I mean, my gosh. So Brandon on the YouTube chat, by the way, all I've got is a YouTube chat. The text line just hates me and wants me to stay out. So all you texters that could be trolling me right now, I just can't get in there. I'm really sorry.
Keep them up.
But Brandon is sitting here saying, like, basically, thank goodness that Kai Ziegler's gone. Like, what? That is all-time dumb. Now, I would look at him as an opposing fan, as someone who, I mean, just an absolute pest and just a winner, right? And just in your face, talked a lot of trash. Seems like he'd be a decent candidate. Obviously, Juwan Jennings, right? But is Juwan Jennings, like, was he a good enough player to qualify for that? You know, like, I mean, he was really good. Then he's had a heck of an NFL career, way beyond expectations. I just don't know, you know, like, it's, he was out, you know, he was not playing. He was playing. I don't know. Like, I guess, you know, you got great players like Peyton Manning, right? But, yeah. but to me, that's just, I hate him because he's good. With Pavia, it's, I hate him because he's good. If you're a Vols fan, you have to admit that, right? Like, all of this stuff is, if he wasn't really good, then it wouldn't be nearly as intense as it is right now. But then also all the trash he's talked. I'm just wondering if there's comp that,
honestly,
I'm not thinking of.
The answer in this is, for a Vanderbilt fan, is probably some Tennessee baseball player. Like, you know,
Tony
Vitello.
That's a good point.
Drew Gilbert.
Yeah,
it's probably like Drew Gilbert. Yeah, but again,
probably Tony V. Like,
it's probably. I mean, that's what it is. It's Vitello, but he's a coach. So
he's a coach, but that probably is, like, who have they hated more than Tony V?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably the one. Now, and again, you know, we all know that baseball around here, especially with Vanderbilt and Tennessee, has gotten big. But I do think in scope, there's still a pretty big difference between college baseball hatred and college football.
Yeah. Okay. So just on the football front, you're right. Like, that's clear, especially because baseball is Vanderbilt's thing. That's where they've been great for a long time. Just on the football front, you know, like, I mean, what did people hate Al Wilson? He's a great player, you know, but like.
Yeah, there's nobody that really stands out. Like, there are a couple of guys that I thought maybe could have been that person, but Tennessee was so bad at the time. Like, Tyler Bray definitely could have been one of those, but Tennessee sucked. Right? Like, I mean, the offense is good, but, you know, Tyler Bray definitely could have been somebody that Vanderbilt fans hated. I think Vanderbilt beat him at least once, right? Maybe twice. I can't remember.
You know what's interesting about this, as you think about it, is like, and I know now Vanderbilt fans are immediately going to turn on me and call me GB Joe, but like, most of Tennessee's great players in football have been like really likable people, like Eric Berry, you know, or Trey Smith, or, you know, Hendon Hooker. Like,
Peyton,
you know what
Manning?
I mean? There you go. Like, they've actually had really, really nice guys who are great players. Why can't you do that, Vanderbilt?
Wow, there we go. Get in there.
Yeah. My Diego's
out Cutler
here making everybody
Get out
mad.
Of here.
That's true.
Yeah, Cutler and Diego. That is way I mean, I guess if you're a Vanderbilt, you should be like, you should pump your chest out on that. Like, yeah, like we have great players, maybe not as many, but
Did
when
they
we
hate
get them, they talk
Dobbs?
trash.
You're like, you know
No, I
what?
mean, of course.
Dobbs
Yeah,
is
exactly.
I'm so tired of hearing about this dude.
Who's the running back?
Being
Jalen
a
Hurd?
Rocket scientist? Yeah.
Jalen Hurd kind of got a little bit of a bad rap at one point,
yeah.
But wasn't that bad.
Well, yeah, but he got a more of a he was more hated by
Tennessee
Tennessee.
fans. Yeah.
It's like, please play Kamara.
That is kind of the power of all Twitter. They kind of hate their own more than anybody could ever hate them.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, there was a lot that went out with Jalen Hurd, you know?
Yeah, there was.
So, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and you know, here's another thing, just so I'm not going too GB Joe on this. Like, the stuff about Pavia's mom, you people need
yeah,
to
calm
stop.
Down. Yeah, calm down.
So she's like a proud mom who was like dancing and having fun. And she, you know, they showed Joey Aguilar's mom too. Someone had a tweet. It was like, we're going to have the biggest mom game ever between Joey's mom and Diego's mom. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, what is this? Like, some idiot who covers Alabama, just an idiot, you know, tweets out like, oh, classless, just like her son. Like, classless because she's dancing and enjoying like
in
her son's
stands.
Win on senior day. How stupid are you?
Jackson says, there's not a specific UT player. It's their obnoxious and entitled fans who everyone hates. This from Jackson on the text line. That's what I'm talking about.
That's not the question.
Get in
though,
there.
But yeah. No, we're all for any trash talk at all. I'm here for it.
I don't think there's a player that really stands out. I really don't. Like in terms of like just a player on the football side of things for Tennessee that Vanderbilt fans have absolutely hated. I mean, I guess Jennings would be the closest one. But again, you're talking about, like, you know, I do think when it's quarterback, it's just different, right? Like, you're talking about a wide receiver on that front.
Yeah. You know, I know Jimmy White's going to be there, and as he almost always is for this game. And boy, what a big day for him. Such an amazing, like, we're talking about one of the great Vanderbilt fans of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, has a degree from UT and continues to be an absolute diehard Vanderbilt fan. Now, I mean, I'm getting like flashbacks from the column I wrote after that Jennings stomp the next day in the press box in Indy, and
you
Jimmy
just got
Wyatt
ripped.
Actually being mean the only time of his life, just telling me what a homer I am for the Vols.
The amount of times that you've been accused
PTSD.
Of being a homer of the Vols and Vanderbilt at the same time is amazing to me.
Oh, I know. There's like this. There's like a reader at The Athletic. I've blocked him on Twitter, but every time that I write anything about Vanderbilt, he immediately goes in the comments. Oh, here we go, Vandy Joe. I'm like, yeah, okay, just can't win. But yeah, the fan thing, of course, right? Like, I think Tennessee fans, like, if Tennessee football ever wins a national championship,
oh boy.
You know. I think already their fan base it has distinguished itself
yeah.
online. And I mean, I know some people would be like, okay, do you really pay close attention to like LSU Twitter? I mean, I have to admit some ignorance here, but I don't know, man. I think it's pretty special.
They're
I
up
think
there.
It's it, yeah. Like I think consistently, and it's been obviously a tough road. Now it's gotten better. What if it gets to the top level?
Oh, they'll be insufferable.
Fans? Oh, my goodness. Meanwhile, we're talking about, by the way, they have a real chance of losing at home to Vanderbilt on Saturday. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know that they are favored in the game. I think most of the country thinks they're going to lose on Saturday. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's a 2.5 point. I think the line is 2.5 points. So that tells me, Joe, it's Neyland Stadium at home. And Vegas on a neutral field is either probably leaning slightly toward Vanderbilt or pick them straight up.
Yeah. You said you think most of the country
thinks
Tennessee's
going to lose? I think most of
the country
thinks Tennessee's going to lose.
Huh. That's interesting. I don't know. I think people who pay close attention to the SEC and have watched both these teams, I mean, frankly, I think I'm with you. Like, that line tells you that that they're viewed equally, or maybe even Vanderbilt a little bit of an edge. Vanderbilt's had a better season, an amazing season, a historic season. I've watched both of them a ton. I would give Tennessee a 2 or 3 point edge on a neutral field. That's just me.
Matt
GB
says,
Joe.
As a lifelong,
just call me GB Joe.
As a lifelong Vol fan and alumni, I'm enjoying the trash talk. If these fans are upset, it's a good thing they're too young for the Spurrier years. I do miss the old ball coach in the SEC.
Oh, man. No doubt. Yeah, like friend Lane tries to be him. Yeah, friend of the show. That's right. Lane tries to be him, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have it, man. He wants to be him, which I guess maybe, you know, maybe well, we can, maybe that means something.
There's an opportunity.
But he's no Spurrier. He's no Spurrier. We miss him.
One
can't spell
says,
citrus without UT.
One texter says, Tennessee fans are obnoxious. You ever been to Tuscaloosa or Gainesville, bro? Rex Rose is going to piss off every fan base in the SEC in this segment. I like it.
Yeah, I have been to both those places, and absolutely. I'm talking more – I mean, I am talking more like the online stuff that goes
presence
on with – but again, like that's where, I mean, I have to admit, like I'm more attuned to that, right? Having been here, covered Tennessee for a long time now, stuff like that. So I'm more attuned to it. However, I do feel like there's just more weird stuff that comes out of all Twitter, you know? I'm talking more of that, like in person, yeah, there's always obnoxious. These are huge fan bases. These are huge SEC fan bases. So, you know, you end up around like the wrong
They're all obnoxious. That's what we've come down to. Yeah,
but
they're all obnoxious.
But at the same time, like if you're a visiting fan, like if you really look at visiting fans in visiting stadiums, I would say that still like 70-80% of them have the experience is fine, right?
Yeah,
it's basically you run into the wrong and excessively drunken people. Probably if you're closer to students, it gets worse, I would guess, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, it's, yeah, in real life, they're all certain obnoxious adults. I'm just saying online that Tennessee fans, I think, have found a niche that is very special.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Could Diego Pavia's smack talk be a detriment to Vanderbilt in this game? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game, stop by John Bon Jovi's pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's, the best food on Broadway, cold beer, and cocktails, stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. We will have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later this hour at 7:45. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. Looking ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt, a massive game on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Joe, we've talked about Pavia. We've talked about what he's had to say. There's no Diego Pavia not scared to talk. And that, I think, gets the attention of his opponents. But so far, it really hadn't mattered all that much, right? I mean, Alabama got after him in that game, and he made some crucial turnovers. And Vanderbilt in general, not just Pavia, started very poorly against Texas, and then they figured it out as the game went on, and it was too late at that point. But for the most part, it hadn't really mattered what Diego Pavia said throughout the year. He's backed it up with his play on the field. So we know, Joe, that Tennessee players, fans, whoever, are going to be ready to play against Diego Pavia in this one. Like I said, it hasn't mattered all that much this year. He's done his thing out there. So what do you make of kind of that aspect of the matchup heading into this, of all this noise around Pavia and Tennessee and all the comments we've talked about, and how does that actually affect the game on Saturday?
Yeah, typically not a big – if it's a big enough game, they're all going to play hard, right? I mean, like, there's so much at stake. Obviously, there's more at stake for Vanderbilt, but there's a lot of stake for Tennessee, too. You can't lose this game, right, if you're Tennessee. So I feel like, yeah, like there's limitations to it. I do wonder, you know, just Pavia, especially with Tennessee, because he has talked. Again, the biggest trash talk he said was, like, Vanderbilt's going to run Tennessee. So, really, a lot of what he said is, like, stuff that he's saying will happen after he's gone, yep, right? So, it's like, it's going to be totally different looking rosters next year and the year after that. And it's kind of, again, it's more of, like, a fan anger thing. Like, Vols fans hear that and, like, please shut up. You know,
I can guarantee you it's being used in that Tennessee locker room this week, though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it still counts as him talking trash about, you know, Vanderbilt being better than Tennessee.
Yep.
They're higher ranked than Tennessee right now, so, like, you can look at them and say, okay, we're going to knock them down. I mean, was it last year? I don't remember what it was. Was it like after the fact? One of the SEC documentaries or whatever, where he was like, "You go Tennessee," or whatever.
Yeah,
you
know, I think it was the Netflix one, right?
Yeah, you know. So, of course, people had fun with that because, of course, they didn't. They got a 14-0 lead, and then they got run off the field. So, but I to me, it's like, does it hurt Vanderbilt? I don't think so. Again, he's lost, like you said, he's lost some of those games. He talked a lot of trash about Alabama that week. I mean, he said, like, it won't be close if they execute, you know. And then he fumbled early, and he threw the pick in the fourth quarter when they were trying to go ahead in the fourth. But was that because of what he said? I mean, I don't think so. You know, he made some mistakes, and Alabama's a little bit better team. But you wonder if maybe it's like a late hit or something, you know. And again, that, I guess that could help Vanderbilt, but also you don't want to get the guy hurt. Like, he's, you know, when you're a quarterback doing what he does, but people want to get any kind of shot on you that they can, and I certainly think we're going to see that Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's going to try to hit him. You know, I think he's done a much better job protecting himself this year. Now, it's not, you know, you're still going to see Diego Pava, and I'm sure we'll see it in this game. When he needs to, lower the shoulder and, you know, try to act like a fullback out there and try to, you know, pick up a first down and get as much yardage as he can. But, like, in general, I think they've done a good job of protecting him this year. And, frankly, in some of these games, like Kentucky, I don't know if Kentucky ever breathed on him in that game. He was just back there dealing all day long. And that's probably the other part of this. Like, last year, Joe, yes, Pavia got hurt in the second half of the year. But I think he's made extreme progress as a passer, like as a deep ball thrower. Not that he was terrible at it last year, but some of the throws he made in that Kentucky game, I mean, you said it, he couldn't have walked up and handed it to him any better than he threw the ball. And I think it's just it's a different Vanderbilt offense that you're dealing with this year if you're Tennessee. Yeah, you got to be concerned about the option and him running around. At this point, I think you've also got to be concerned if you're Tennessee with, man, he will throw it right over the top of you and throw it very well, very accurately right over the top of you. So you better be pretty sticky in coverage while you're trying not to let him take over the game running the ball.
Yeah. And look, Trey Richardson, you saw last week, but like Trey Richardson is like one of the fastest dudes in the SEC. So, and Sherrill can go deep too. You know, and obviously Stowers is such a huge mismatch for, you know, like linebackers trying to cover him. Say, I mean,
what's the over under in this game? That's what I want to know. I haven't looked at it.
That's a great question. Don't tell me. I'm going to put the over under at 73.5.
You're a little
high.
Which
is high.
But it's a little high. It's okay. 65.5.
Say, oh man, hit the over.
I'm kind of with you. Now I'm looking around the rest of college football, and right now it's like the highest one I see at 65.5. In the top 25 for sure. But still, like, it's like I feel like if both offenses play the way that they've played the majority of this year, we're gonna have a barn burner out there on Saturday.
I do too.
Which, of course, yeah, you know means what the final score is gonna be 17-14. So
of course. Yeah, but I mean the one difference, of course, is like Vanderbilt, and eventually they'll hit these big plays, and so it's not like this, but they have a lot of long drives, you know? Like, they're really good at just getting you in third and two, third and three, and then it's like, everything's open to them, you know? Do a little option thing. They might just surprise you with, you know, like a stretch play, and, you know, obviously anything in the pass game, and they just – eat up clock. And obviously Tennessee is out there doing, you know, when they go fast, you know, it's these touchdown drives can go by in a flash. So it is kind of an interesting contrast in terms of like one of them does like to control the ball a lot more. But yeah, I don't like either defense in this game. I love both offenses.
We will get into the college football playoff rankings coming up next, what it means for Vanderbilt and what's the help that Vanderbilt is going to need if they beat Tennessee this weekend. We will get into all that. Today, Vanderbilt men's basketball taking on Western Kentucky with an 11 a.m. tip-off, pregame show starting at 10:30 on 102.5 The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex rant coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. How are you?
How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Before I say something, I just wanted to take a minute and let you know I'm thankful and grateful for y'all. Y'all have been a good company for me. A lot of cold dark days getting to work back and forth. So I just want to let you know you are appreciated. I know it gets old at times getting up and everything, but people listen.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Kenny.
And listen, I am so grateful and thankful for this whole Vanderbilt football season because I really have no connection with Vanderbilt. I have trouble even spelling Vanderbilt, but I've rooted for them for 50 years as a kid. I went over there. There was nothing else to do in town. I sold programs and we get in games, so I've always rooted for them. But they've never had an important season. To have a season where they're still being talked about at the end of the game has just been – it has been, I don't have words to describe it. It is so, so neat, and I'll always appreciate it. And I am so excited for the game Saturday. Really, it means more to me than the College Bowl projections and programs that they're trying to figure out, because in my lifetime, how many, Joe, you are really smart at this, how many lunar landings have there been?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it's six. In my lifetime, Vanderbilt has won four times in Knoxville. So statistically speaking, it's been harder for them to win in Knoxville than to land on the moon.
Jeez.
So, I mean, you start thinking the numbers like that. I don't think they've ever been back-to-back bowl games, maybe once in the whole program. So just for this to work out this way, it has been really, really neat to see. And for a lot of people, I've never hated anyone else on other teams. It's sports to me is a pleasant diversion. When you start hating somebody, you might want to check yourself and see why does that kind of feelings come up on somebody you don't even know, really. So listen, it's been great to talk to y'all, and I'm going to enjoy this one way or another.
Thank y'all, you, Kenny. Appreciate you as well, Kenny. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, it's I've not heard the moon landing stat, but that puts it into perspective, Joe.
Well, good, you know, good for Kenny, good perspective. But, you know, by golly, can we should get some hate going. I'm thankful for hate too, okay? As long as, again, it's like sports hate.
Yeah.
Right? Like sports hate is good.
Healthy
like
hate.
You don't want it like, yeah, exactly. As far as, you know, now his moon landing, that's great stuff. Now I'm imagining a Vol Twitter being like, okay, are we sure that any moon landings and any Vanderbilt victories over Tennessee have actually happened? Is it all just smoke and mirrors? Could just be. Saying.
So the college football.
Big Orange Mac, get on it, buddy.
That's what we need. Investigative work. College football playoff rankings are out again. No changes to the top five. Now, Oregon moved ahead of Ole Miss after their win against USC. And Miami has moved ahead of Utah, which is causing just a big old stir right now. And I saw Mitch Light put this out there last night, Joe. A lot of conversation on the Miami front. And it's like, okay, how in the world is Miami being rewarded for all this and Vanderbilt is not? And here was the tweet from Mitch Light. In the last 2 weeks, Miami has moved up from 18 to 11 after beating teams ranked 109 and 66 by scores of 17 and 34. Vanderbilt stayed at 14 after beating a team ranked 57 by 28. And it's like, how is this happening? So, and I think it was actually 15, not 18. So, and Mitch Light corrected himself later. So Miami's gone from 15 to 11 by beating basically like Syracuse 38 to 10. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's really interesting because – you know, like, first of all, the Notre Dame-Miami thing is going to be if Miami beats Pittsburgh, you know, the Notre Dame-Miami thing is going to be just hugely controversial. And, again, I'm a little more down the middle on the whole Miami-Notre Dame thing, I guess. But, like, I'm seeing friends of the show, Dan Wolkin, Ari Wasserman, saying, like, this would be the biggest controversy ever, the biggest mistake ever if Miami beating Notre Dame – but Notre Dame getting in over Miami, you know, how could you possibly do that? The committee said last night they are now compared against each other. They just think Notre Dame is better. I mean, it's just so. And I do think if it's close, look, head to head can't overtake everything. Like, right, like head to head on its own is not everything. But if you're close enough, like they seem to be, I would hope that it would be a tiebreaker.
It needs to matter, you know, at some point. Otherwise, I don't know what we're playing for.
Yeah, so there's that. You know, the Vanderbilt thing, I know some people were like, And Mitch makes a good point there. There's always, I mean, look, why did Michigan jump three spots from beating Maryland? I mean, I have no idea. You know, why? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, it's like, so is the committee getting them ready to get in if they beat Ohio State? You know, I don't know. You know, it's like, that's conspiratorial, but there are some weird things that happen in this. With Vanderbilt, though, I think it's the same thing. Like, Miami could be a problem, you know, for sure. But I still think that Tennessee winning at or Vanderbilt winning at Tennessee, I think that's a huge jump that people aren't giving credit for. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think they would get a huge bump if they went at Tennessee. Like, I'm not worried about Utah. They're going to be past Utah. You know, BYU, that's interesting. But I still think it comes down to at least one of these SEC teams has to lose. At least one of these SEC teams has to be upset. If that's the case, then you get into how could you leave out a 10-2 SEC team that just won at Tennessee? And I think Vanderbilt would be in if they but they have to have Alabama, Oklahoma, or Ole Miss lose.
Yeah. And yeah, you'd be
rooting
hard for Tigers this weekend if you're Vanderbilt. Get LSU to take down Oklahoma, get Auburn, take down Alabama. So that's the one part of this. You know, the Kiffin thing got brought up last night too. And I think the quote about that from Juracek was it's basically that it's in the protocol, but there was. I'm not sure we'll have a data point to use that as part of the protocol. So we'll see what all that looks
like.
Would
that not be ridiculous if they bumped Ole Miss down because Kiffin's gone?
You think it would? I don't know. I think some people would say it would be ridiculous if they didn't. I mean, he's their play caller too. Let's not forget that.
I don't know. That seems hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the protocols, and again, we saw what happened with Florida State. Now, later, he got pressed on that, Robbie, on the teleconference, and he did say it could matter. Okay. But the difference is, yeah, he left it open. But he's right. I mean, the difference is we saw Florida State play without Jordan Travis, and they sucked. And so it was way easier to be like, yeah, this team's not good enough. We will not have seen Ole Miss play without Lane.
That was a player, right?
Yeah, for sure. But you know, and we've talked about this, but I mean, if you don't think that taking a head coach out, and in particular the guy who is specifically like running your offense, he's not like Ed Orgeron head coach, right? The offense is his baby. I mean, I don't think you can just completely dismiss that.
I don't think they're going to end up missing the playoff because of it, but I do think it will affect
not if
their
they
season.
Win.
Yeah, if they win, of course, yeah.
But if they lose, I could see that being the difference.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be the justification, and that's why ultimately he got president last night and he left it open because you can't close the door. I mean, you know, they're gonna see all these things happen, and then they're gonna put the field they want together.
Yep.
And then they're gonna justify.
I do not like this committee.
I think that's a good way to put it, though. They're gonna put the field they want together. That's
kind
of what
not,
it feels like.
I do not like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, this is a yearly thing, and they just make stuff up from week to week. It's what it is. They make stuff up from week to week because it's a TV show. That's what it comes down to.
Well, the one thing for sure about this committee, I mean, and I actually wrote a sarcastic column today that a lot of readers are saying very mean things to me about. But this is by far the most I've ever heard people talk about all the film they watch. I mean, every single week it's like, oh, this team. I mean, yesterday we're talking about Oregon special teams. I'm like, oh my God, we finally got into talking about special teams. We're talking about this team's good up the middle. This team has a great running game. I mean, it's like they are the most like film watching, and we base this on our experts, our coaches, former coaches watching film than I've ever heard. It's kind of wild.
Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, guys? So I put this out on Twitter last night. I haven't watched the college football playoff show much this year, if at all. But I saw the one clip. And with that one clip, I cannot take this college football playoff committee seriously anymore. Yes. We all want to have fun on TV and shows and everything. But when it seems like a leader of something, whether it be a commissioner, a playoff committee spokesperson, it's always cringe. And him doing the 6-7 thing last night, you're wanting people to take you seriously and actually listen to what you have to say, even though what you say just doesn't mean anything. I just can't take them seriously.
Thank you for the call, Nate. Joe, did you do 6-7? Did you write a column on the 6-7?
No.
The 100-yard check broke out last night?
I mean, I think Nate might be taking a little seriously there, but yes, it was a very dorky moment for Hunter and the committee. He did the 6-7. Very dorky. But I mean, you know, whatever. I have other issues that are.
Yeah, they got a long list of issues before that.
Yeah. Like last night, there's nothing to me that's like too outrageous. But if we get to the end, and I understand, like, we're focused on Vanderbilt and we're going to see, I mean, if Vanderbilt doesn't get in, if they beat Tennessee, they don't get in because these teams ahead of them win. I'll go through it all and be like, look, I'm sorry, but like, it just, the schedule just, like, these other teams have better wins, man. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? That's just what it is. So we'll see how that plays out. But the Notre Dame Miami thing, it's going to be a problem to me. If Miami goes in, thumps Pitt, and maybe they won't. Pitt could make it easy on everybody this week, and they're good enough to just beat Miami and knock it out. But Notre Dame and Miami, if it comes down to that, and Notre Dame gets in just because they think they're better, I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, and I'm still look, Notre Dame looks good. They passed the eyeball test. And I understand that the losses that they have are good. Go find me their good wins. They don't have them. So go find me their good wins. I mean, we just found out about USC this past weekend. They ain't very good.
Yeah. The best win, you know, kicking the crap out of Pitt on the road is good. I mean, that's a good win. It's not a great win, but that does to me. That matters. You talk about that, especially with Pitt going in and thumping Georgia Tech, which I was also a paper tiger, by the way, but still, I mean, you know, but now it's like, it is on Miami to like style point it at Pitt's expense this week. And they might just lose.
They might. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll have the Rex rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here?
I might lose my mind today.
You know, some of these rats around here, so.
What's that going on, Snapface? Get that on there. Yeah, good.
I tried to join Snapface.
Way too many conversations about Diego Pavia's mom. We love we ass, okay? Stacey's mom has got it going on. Vrabel, smash away.
Pitch and catch.
I married my cousin last year. Overrated is turkey. And I swear he looks like a diseased chicken. If you're out there and you're thinking about green bean casserole tomorrow, throw a little bacon in there.
Which one of you has gout?
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Can I change that quickly to turkey bacon? Try turkey bacon. See? Best of both worlds.
Mm.
Gout-free, still delicious. If you do it right. I do broccoli salad with turkey bacon, and you cannot tell that it's turkey bacon. I promise you. So I just want you to know that. I'm going to do a little, yeah, thank you. Do a little grab bag today, because I was going to do... You know, like Jordan Hudson is suing Pablo Torre, and it's just, it's just not going to go well, man. It's like, so he's like already catching her, like with, I don't even know. I don't even understand everything that's going on, but it's not good for her. And like, I would just advise her to just like stop. And also, I would advise, like, I mean, apparently, well, this is the New York Post reporting. So, you know, it's the New York Post reporting, but the report is that. Belichick's daughter went off on her, you know, after like a game or whatever, and it just sounds like it's going really well. So
sure, North Carolina administration's loving it.
Yeah. Good luck to all of them. It seems like it's really going well. But I want to hit a couple other things. One of them is, so this week you got the Players Era Festival, which we talked about earlier in the show. Huge win for Tennessee over Houston. Big opportunity against Kansas. You know, Kansas still, you know, they don't have Darren Peterson, their superstar freshman, but they're still a really good team. That'd be a win that would, if Tennessee gets out of Vegas with Houston and Kansas, to its credit, first of all, Greg Sankey should send Rick Barnes all the fruit baskets, because it hasn't been the Big 12 has been the best league so far. If you knock out Houston and Kansas, that's a big deal. Like, when it comes to, you know, these leagues, and I mean, that's stuff that can come around during selection time, which, by the way, the basketball selection committee, we complain about them. They make a lot more sense than the football selection committee, I must say. But what I want to talk about is, so there's a lot of complaining this week. Okay. And Jeff Goodman's getting it. He's doing some awkward interviews. He's sending out tweets that piss people off. This thing is like, they have like two courts going at once and stuff. And it's like, it's a big arena. And so it looks very empty. So meanwhile, like Maui, I mean, Jay Billis doesn't care. He's out in Hawaii, but like, he just, like, you know, it's like, there's just not great teams in Maui this year. The field in Maui and the Bahamas are weak. So people are angry about Feast Week. So first of all, one thing I would say is, like, if you get good basketball games, like, that's still a great Feast Week. And we've had some great ones, and we're going to have more. I mean, Michigan State, North Carolina are going to play on Thanksgiving. Like, that's just like a four team thing in Fort Myers, but it's a great game. So we're getting plenty of good hoops. Okay. Yes. I love Maui too. It's the greatest thing ever. And I want that stuff to survive. But remember, those things are played in, Maui is a high school gym. Okay. So it's like this, the packed, great atmosphere, because it's like 1500 people. Okay. So again, you take those people and you spread them out in a big arena, it looks bad. But the biggest thing about this that bothers me, because I've seen some, like, someone who I think is like a credentialed media member, talking about like the Players Era thing paying off national media members to support the tournament. And you know, it's easy to make fun of Jeff Goodman sometimes.
I volunteer.
And criticize. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He, to the point where Goodman actually, he shouldn't have done this, but he actually tweeted, "I have never been paid to promote a tournament." It's like, really? Do you even need to like address this crap? It's just so dumb. No one's getting paid. Okay. I mean, look, there's great games. Like, we're going to get Tennessee, Kansas today. We're going to get Gonzaga, Michigan. Should it be Tennessee, Gonzaga? Yes, because Tennessee has better wins, but they're going by margin of victory. Michigan destroyed San Diego State and a not very good Auburn team. Okay. So they get to play in the championship, but that's dumb. But like, this idea that people are getting paid off, I mean, it's stupid. Just stop. It's embarrassing. And finally, Robbie, I gotta touch on this. I'm trying to find the story, but Diana Rossini has written about our buddy Tom Brady, and you know, so apparently he was the one who adamantly was all over, like, we got to get Chip Kelly in here, man. Let's get Chip Kelly. This is going to be amazing. For people who didn't see this week, Chip Kelly has been relieved of his duties. He got a 3-year deal worth $6 million a year. And he has already been fired by Pete Carroll and the Raiders. So I'm just wondering, like, I understand that Tom Brady was an amazing quarterback, absolutely one of the best AFC East quarterbacks of all time. It's no argument. Okay, how bad is he at everything else?
Jeez, your hatred for Brady runs deep.
It's not hatred. It's not. You have admitted he's not a good announcer. Okay, I mean, he's average. He's fine. I it doesn't like offend me anymore. I think he's gotten better, but it's not great, right? He's not Greg Olson.
I think your love for Greg Olson is a little bit overrated too, but that's fine. He's not Greg Olson.
Okay. Brady is annoying.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, boy, running a team's going very well, Tom. Going great. How did you enjoy Shedeur Sanders, who you basically betrayed in his life, coming in and smoking your team? Oh, you didn't enjoy that because you were calling a game that was too good for you to call, but the listeners had to sit there and listen to you call that game.
Jeez.
I'm just saying, like, when is Tom Brady going to do something? I mean, other than being a very good quarterback who, you know, did some really good stuff, what else? What else, man?
Yeah, like, what's next? What are you doing?
His roast was pretty good. I'll give him that. Good roast.
Let me also say, I too have never been paid to promote a college basketball tournament, but I am open to it. So if you're interested out there, I'm open to it.
Like this guy tweeted, was like, they're getting rooms comped. They're getting just so they can go out and promote. It's like, guys, the tournament is already like on TNT. Like, it's on primetime every night. Like, I don't think Jeff Goodman tweeting nice things about it is going to tip the scales.
I've got an open mind. That's all I'm saying. Got an open mind.
Sure. I mean, I'll do it too.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Jeff to the program. Jeff, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Hello, Jeff. I think we've lost Jeff, Ian.
He's probably Jeff, a call back supporter.
Later. Could be. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line. We will do that coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and the Jags coming up this weekend. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.